have excluded those before because these are their neighbors. These are their communities, right? They're seeking justice of a historic wrong, but not by creating further wrongs, by trying to figure out how we can all be good neighbors to each other and find ways through that are bringing together Cowan law and the common law and perhaps creating something entirely new. To me, this is an opportunity to think about, well, what do we want to create that is of this place, right? Do we need frameworks that have come from England to tell us how we should be neighbors with each other and how we should interface with these lands? You know, perhaps there's things we want to take from that, but perhaps there's things we want to take from Cowan law about what it means to live here and be good neighbors to each other. I think if folks took the opportunity to actually learn about Cowan law or other indigenous legal orders, there would probably be a lot of comfort in the fact that these governance models and frameworks have been dealing with issues of conflict and overlapping interests and how to manage land and territory for many, many generations, and have tools that we can, as non-Indigenous peoples, perhaps link into and find ourselves learning from as we figure out these complicated questions.
So sort of to finish up, if I understand it for everything you've said to me, and it's been a lot.
Yes, sorry, there's a lot to say.
The way forward on this, kind of in the long run, because it sounds like it will be a long run, is that, within our legal system and understanding of property rights, average title needs to be integrated into that, kind of in the same way that, the provincial, and federal sovereignty and the rights of municipalities, because there are already very sort of influences in and ways in which the different bodies have some say in what happens on this kind of land. And this is not something completely different and not in opposition, just, well, I wouldn't say new, but newly considered in that larger equation.
Yeah, I think this makes clear that the intersocietal and multi-juridical space that we're living in has to be faced head on, that we have to address the fact that this is a place in which different legal orders are intersecting, and at times that's going to create opportunities, and at times it's going to create challenges. But I think really expecting all of us to enter into it in good faith and in a good way will lead to better outcomes and solutions than the kind of alarmist and fear-based thinking that we've seen from a lot of parties. And so I hope that folks will, read the case and talk to people with knowledge of the history and of Cowan law and try to inform themselves about what a different future might look like for those places.
Well, that seems like a great place to end it for today. Thanks so much for speaking to me. It really is a very complex issue, but I think a lot of that complexity is sort of lost in the more in a lot of the discussion that goes on. And I think if we can cut through that complexity, it isn't as scary as it sometimes seems.
Yeah, I
But
think
it is also a lot of work to be done by all the parties.
absolutely a lot of work to be done. And I think, the hope is that we can turn a page here and start doing that together rather than in opposition to each other.
Well, Dr. Esther Van Wagner, thank you so much. Associate Professor in the Faculty of Law at UVic. Very enlightening conversation today, and thank you for your time.
Thank you. I'm glad you're covering this issue.
Good. Thank you. And thanks to Dr. Esther Van Wagner for speaking to us about that. As you can tell, It's a pretty complicated topic with a lot of moving parts. And it's no wonder that things like, perhaps no wonder that the treaty process itself, negotiation process here in Vancouver moves, or Vancouver in British Columbia moves so slowly. Thank you to Dr. Van Wagner for really breaking it down and I think covering an awful lot of ground and providing an awful lot of information in a fairly compact, pretty easy to understand package. As she mentioned in the interview, she teaches a year-long course on these property rights issues, not just as related to Indigenous title, but and so, you know, it's a big and complicated topic, and I really appreciate how she was able to sort of bring it down and make it something comprehensible for those of us here on the radio. I hope you enjoyed that interview. There's a lot in it. If you want to listen to it again, we will be posting this program up on our website by this afternoon, and you'll be able to listen to it there. Just go to our homepage. And you can find it, and we'll also be putting it up on our SoundCloud, which you can find at soundcloud.com/CJSFFM. And a whole bunch of other content created, interviews and stories and other stuff created by our reporters and programmers and volunteers here at CJSF 90.1 FM. Now it's time for a little bit of bird note, a bit more of a lighter topic, help us relax a little bit.
This is Bird Note. When the air is thick with wildfire smoke, people are advised to stay home. But birds don't have weather apps, so what do they do? Acorn woodpeckers are extremely social. They live in family groups that cooperate to raise young and to cache food in a communal granary. They often visit their neighbors, too, which can help young birds find mates or establish new territories. To study these social networks, scientists have been using tiny radio transmitters to track the movements of acorn woodpeckers in a nature preserve near Monterey, California. In the summer of 2020, when nearby wildfires blanketed the area in heavy smoke, the birds responded to poor air quality, much like people do. On smoky days, woodpeckers spent more of their time at home, and when they did leave their territories, they didn't venture far and visited fewer neighbors than usual. The researchers calculated that from 2016 to 2020, almost 90% of the U.S. range of acorn woodpeckers experienced similarly smoky conditions at some point each year. That's a lot of birds whose lives and community ties are being disrupted by wildfire smoke. Learn more about what you can do to help ensure that we all have clean air to breathe when you visit our website, birdnote.org. I'm Ariana Rimmel.
And we are well into the Christmas season here at CJSF, and of course for you at home, if you celebrate Christmas, that is, not everybody does, but it is a gift giving season, and we have a special edition of Gardening with Embark with our expert Pablo Vimas from Embark Sustainability, and he's going to be talking about gifts for the gardeners in your life. He's got a lot of great ideas, so here's our talk. All right, welcome to a special holiday edition of Gardening with Embark. And joining me here in the studio is our gardens expert, Pablo Vimas. And we're going to talk about gifts for gardeners, what you can get for the gardeners in your life that they're going to like.
Hello, everyone. We are in week 49, and our mind and body is thinking, okay, it's time to relax, try to catch up with the weather, try to catch up with our health. And at the same time, we know the festivities are close by and start thinking what we can buy or give to our friends, mm-hmm. Or to ourselves as a gardener. Yes. So there are many things that we can do and we can group in sections like tools, supplies, some clothes, and others. So we gardeners love tools, you know.
And one thing I think is great is the whole range of sort of price ranges for these things. There's little things all the way up to significant gifts.
Correct. So, yeah, it could be tools, for instance, bypass pruner, which will be low cost, to a full power tool set. You know? Because we gardeners like, oh, by spring we are in building mode. There is no gardener that is not in building mode in spring. So power tools, we always glad to have an extra battery, so we don't have all our power tools just died on us during the, last season. So that is the thing that we can focus on too. Certainly, during the winter season, we do lots of pruning at our trees, our shrubs, our native plants. So pruners or a folding saw, which is always useful to have a hand. So that's very much in this winter season. And together with that, we can have, we're always on knees. So a knee pad, a knee or a knee mat, a small a stool where we can sit down and continue doing our pruning activities. What else we can talk about? Ah, it is a time that we, like today, it's rainy, and we still are in gardening mode and planning to store our tools.
Yeah.
And before our tools are stored, of course, we clean, we sharpen the edges of our shovels, they sharpen the edges of our pruners. So as sharpening tool, sharpening a stone is quite good for this time of the season, because we are just cleaning and trying to store all our tools. So when the spring comes, everything is ready to go. So that's quite
I see you have a tool bag here too. I don't know about you, but I'm always someone, I have my tool and then I get up to do something and I carry it off with me and put it down, and then I go back and it's like, where the hell did I put that down?
That's right. Okay, so that brings us to a safety, how you call it, flagging tape. Flagging tape, colorful flagging tape, or a colorful orange neon duct tape. So all my tools are orange and duct taped. Because in the field, in the garden, as you say, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, and just put my tool there, and later I spend more than half an hour looking where the tool is. So anything that makes the tool pop out in the garden, so it's orange duct tape, that is a must in my garden. So all my tools have are taped with this orange, so I know where they are. I have lost some of them. I remember once I was working with my hammer, and didn't know where it was until I emptied the composter, and it was in there, in the compost. So yeah, that's a good thing to have it. Yeah, toolbox. that's interesting, because when you go to the garden, if the garden is not close to your home, or you have an allotment or somewhere else, a community garden, you need to bring your own tools.
Right.
There are tools that the community garden offers, but sometimes they are in the best shape or somebody is using, and you have to wait till they are free. So you carry your own tools with you. So either there is a tap, a 5 gallon tap, or a proper tool bag where you can have your own stuff. So, yeah, a gardener without tools or seeds, you delay the stuff, you work. And then we have supplies, kind of supplies. We have Sharpies, because spring will arrive and we have to label. So label, plant labels and Sharpies that are go together. So how, and then we say, well, plant labels. I try to use plastic labels, not to use popsicle sticks, because those don't last 3 weeks. They are all rotting, and they don't last. So although we are trying to be sustainable and environmental friendly, but just plastic still is the only thing that I do is make sure that my plastic labels, I use Sharpie, and I will say, well, how I clean that? So actually there is a product that is environmental friendly to remove graffiti. So I use that product to spray on a rack and clean my plastic labels, and the Sharpie just cleans.
And then you can reuse them.
You can reuse
them.
Yeah. So those are these three things. So it could be plastic labels, Sharpies, and these graffiti removals, environmental friendly. we can have cotton twine. Yes. Mm-hmm. Again, the season will arrive. We have to be fixing the plants to the trellises, guiding them. So cotton twine is quite helpful. Yep. And again, not to lose, you can have a nice container with colorful designs where you can store your twine and bring all together to the garden. It's better to have something which is metal mm-hmm. rather than glass. Glass might fall, break, and then you have to deal with all this broken glass.
Right.
So something that might last a tumble or something is being squished there. So something that's plastic or metal will do the job.
Yep.
Winter is here, so and we still are doing our set of gloves, which we always welcome a set of gloves, nice gloves. Will be nice to have waterproof winter gloves.
Yep.
Yeah, so which are waterproof, rubberized, and inside they are nice, warm, felty. So yeah, so you can still continue. We still can continue doing our gardeners, even if the weather is out cold.
Yeah, and all those items would make great stocking stuffers too, because they're all just sort of, you know, not a lot of cost, but fun and super useful.
Super useful. Yeah. And there is a folding knife as well. So, you know, there are lots of things to do and you need to cut and there is no scissors at hand. So a pocket knife as well would be quite nice. Yeah.
Yep.
So the summer will arrive and then we can see that we start getting our farmer's tan.
Mm-hmm.
When summer arrives, our arms are completely brown, our face, neck, so anything that help us to protect from the sun, like sleeves, bandana, a hat, which is I tend to use a hat, just to protect my ears, the tip of my nose. You know, those are areas that really you can get skin cancer, and you don't want to have that.
Yep.
So let's protect that with using a hat with a large brim, so it's protect all your face and neck, and yes, the arms and sleeves. And nowadays, as well, there are beautiful gardening aprons.
Mm.
It could be in this strong leather, or it could be this, canvas, very strong canvas as well. So, an apron, which is quite nice when you have to harvest, because you just fold that and collect it.
Right.
And talking harvesting, a harvesting basket as well.
Yeah.
There's another tool that we super love it.
Mm-hmm.
I usually have with me harvesting beans, which are these dish pans that we use for camping. So always, and they are, I always bring with me to the garden. Even now in winter, there's always something to harvest and you put in there and ready to wash and bring it home. As well, our hands get very rough during this time.
Yeah.
So an ointment that makes them nice and smooth. Over the summer, any sun cream that is not too sticky and without a scent. I try to be to avoid anything that has a scent in the garden because we don't know how the insects will react to it.
Right.
So I don't want to be an attraction to insects and the bees and bumblebees all about my face and body. Like, what happened? Well, you are quite scenty.
Yeah. you smell like a flower.
You smell like a flower. So some insects might get so upset and they sting you with no reason. So that we as well at this moment, we like to have magazines, a membership in the magazine, or calendar. There are garden calendars. At the moment, we have the Earth and Soil magazine that is located in Langley. It's a local magazine.
Oh, nice.
They follow the biodynamics philosophy. So gardening with the moon, gardening following the phases of the moon. So there's a full, beautiful calendar that publish every December. So at the moment, they are, you can visit their website and order your calendar so you can follow the moon's phases so you can do all your activities, gardening activities.
I imagine as a calendar, it sort of got the sort of recommendations for what's happening at different times as you go through the year, you know, and local, which of course is really important.
Very important. So that's intense. If you are into, say, I had my experience with permaculture, I would like to diversify my knowledge, let's go to biodynamics, and that is another philosophy that we can experiment and learn from. So that's And yeah, any other garden magazine would be
awesome. And that's called Heart and Soil?
Heart and Soil. Nice. Yeah. And that's quite nice. Also, they have a beautiful website, and they carry, they host workshops, online workshops for any gardener that's interested too. So that's quite good. Seeds. Yes, seeds. Oh, we gardeners, we love seeds. So at the moment, I know that the West Coast Seeds, which is very popular in our environment, and already have published their new magazine, Seed Mag, for the coming year.
Seed Catalog?
Yeah, the Seed Catalog. So, again, you can go to online or visit one of the garden centers and grab your Seed Catalog for the coming year. Yeah. So you can spend all these rainy days inside observing and making your garden, your seed list. So when January arrives, you can immediately place your order and have your seeds by March. So I think those are some of the things that what else will be for will be not a container where you can have your seeds.
Right.
It's easy. You get all these beautiful seed packets, lots of them, and then you are looking for a container where to store them and and know where they are when you need them.
Right.
Yeah. So
and seeds, if they're properly stored, they're going to last quite a long time. Like, you may order a bunch of seeds, not use all of them right away, and if you store them properly, you could use them next year.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that is the...
And of course, like you say, remember where you put them.
Correct. Yeah. So you get your seeds. As if you don't use all of them, you can store it, but you need a proper container so you know where they are. Otherwise, we tend to put it here and store it here and let you are looking. Where are my radishes? I know that I have a packet of radishes, but you cannot find it. And then you have to go and buy and let you, when you are tidying up, you find your packet.
So do you favor like a separate container for each sort of seed or sort of a collective box where with a lot of slots?
Oh, well, what I do is I have separate things or containers for my seeds, which are grouped. So I group my seeds in leaves and roots, and fruits and flowers. So those are how I group. So all my vegetables that give me leaves, so lettuce, arugula, broccoli, cauliflower, they will be, cabbage, they will be all together in one container. Vegetables that gives me peppers, tomatoes, zucchini, squash, they will be in another.
Right.
And so on, roots like carrots, carrots, radishes, beets, scallions, they will be in another container. Yeah. So they are grouped by produce. And those small things are in container, stored in a large container. So I know that they are in all, because there are people who can have a folder with a sleeves where you can store your seeds, but drag all that to the field.
You're kind of stuck taking everything with you instead of just what you need.
The other thing is that if it's raining or wet, it might get wet all the seed packets, so you don't want that. But if you have a container, so you just open your container, look for the selection of seeds you want, and take only that with you. And so it's kind of an easy way to bring everything, but not use everything, and everything is still protected.
Excellent. Well, these are a lot of great ideas. So tools, lots of different tools, and you're going to be able to find those at the garden store or off in the hardware store.
Yes.
Similar for some of the supplies, but some of these supplies even, you'd be able to find them at the dollar store even, really inexpensive. Clothes, where do you look online for clothing items?
Usually, Amazon. Everybody looks in there. Garden centers as well, they'll give some ideas. Some of the garden centers have some apparel with clothes on. So we can visit there as well, and you may have an idea what it's you like to purchase.
Yeah, excellent. And then, some of the other stuff, the gardening magazines you'll be able to find online. Seeds and tins for the seeds through the seed suppliers or the garden store.
Yeah, and sometimes in the recycling in your building. There is people who drink tea and they just discard the tins where the leaves are. So why not reuse that? So it's just,
And if you're a canner and you're canning your produce, you're also going to have a lot of jars that might make great seed containers. And you can get, and those are easy to find to get to some. And I guess if you have a canner, a garden canner, you know, jars and stuff are always. Yeah.
And one thing I will add to my my supplies or tools in there is a label, a printer of labels, printer. So yeah, so if you want to label everything, having a printer and can very clear display in there, so you know where things are.
Yeah, it really does make a difference when you have a lot of small little things, and you can, you know, just little label. And they're done and easy to read for you and anyone else as well.
That's right. You know. Because you say, "Oh, can you pass me my thing with the leaf seeds? Like, where it is?"
Excellent idea. All right. Well, thank you, Pablo. Some great ideas for Christmas and for the gardeners in our lives. Thank you so much, Pablo Vimas of Embark Sustainability Society. You're the gardens manager. Tell us very quickly about Embark and some of the gardens programs you're running.
Yep. So Embark is now. Embark Sustainability is a non-profit organization based here in SFU. We serve to our large student community in campus. Embark manages two gardens here in campus, in Burnaby campus. One is behind the Maggie Bengston Field, and the other is in the third floor on the student building. We run gardening cohorts. Each gardening cohort lasts for 7 weeks, and we run four of them during the year. So one in spring, two in summer, one in fall. And now we are inviting gardeners or anyone who is interested in continue gardening or developing gardening skills or just wanting to be outside with more people and make friends to come and join us into a volunteer gardener volunteers. Because during this winter time we have lots to do still in our gardening. As we've been moving from last summer, we've been moving the garden to a new location. There's still a lot of labor to do, like wheeling soil. We have to move our trees. We have 7 trees, fruit trees, that needs to be moved to the new garden. So we are calling for volunteers to give us a hand on that. So it will be a bit more labor intensive than learning, but still, once we're in gardening and doing this and that, we always sharing. Some gardening tips.
You know, especially in winter, that can be really nice when you're spending a lot of time indoors, just to get out and do some good physical work, especially with a group of people. Then it's sort of a nice social exercise, and you come back feeling good because you've really worked your body.
That's right. So we are calling for our volunteers. We are going to start in the third week of January, and we will run until mid March. Right. So we have a good few weeks there to work together.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much. Happy holidays and Merry Christmas to you, Pablo,
to
everyone over at Embark. And thanks for these great Christmas tips.
Thank you. And happy holidays to everyone. Have a nice, restful winter. And we will meet each other in spring when the good weather will be around.
Excellent. Thanks so much, Pablo Vimas of Embark Sustainability. We'll be back in the new year.
That's right. See you.
And we will be back in the new year. Gardening with Embark is, of course, on a break because the gardening season is on a break. But Pablo and I will be returning. We probably do, there'll be an episode in January just about planning and getting ready for the year ahead. And then we'll pick things up every week starting in March. So please look for season 3 in the new year. You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, and this is Speak Up. We had an interview with Dr. Esther Van Wagner about the Cowichan Tribe's Richmond land claims decision about Aboriginal title and what that decision and the larger concepts involved in it mean for the province going forward. If you have any thoughts you'd like to share with us about that, you can send us a message at 778-782-2573. We can take text messages at that number, and we'd love to hear from you. Lots more great programming coming up here on CJSF. In just a couple minutes is Democracy Now! Up at 11. At noon is Wandering Rhythms, and up at 3 o'clock is Typically Tuesday. Tomorrow, another episode of Speak Up is coming to you at 10 o'clock with Danny Nesvadarani in the host chair. And also on Thursday with Jesse. And on Wednesday, the newly relaunched Intravenous will be coming to you at 10 o'clock with a whole slew of interviews and discussions and talks all around women and gender issues And I urge you to tune in for that. It's a great show and lots of interesting discussion. Stay tuned here on CGSF for a lot more great programming. We'll be back tomorrow, and Democracy Now! Is coming up right now.